Hey everyone, welcome to another edition of the After Dark podcast. We have a great show for you today because we have not one, but two spandex lycra lovers. Our first, you may know from the internet and many, many other places, his pictures went all over the world back in the day, still circulate, and he's back on the internet. It's Andy E. Lycra, welcome.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Great to have you. And then I have a co-host who you guys have heard, who is very much into Lycra, who is very much posting all sorts of pictures and some really hot ones just recently. I told him that. It is Glasgow Lycra. Welcome back.
Hey, good to be here again.
Good to have you as my co-host on this, because I thought you'd be the perfect person to have on the show and help with the interview, since you have met our guest in person and you have followed him forever. I was saying before we got started, I remember Andy's pictures long before the internet, when we had AOL here in the States, and his pictures got passed around everywhere during the time, and did not know he had a site till later. And then I'm like, who is this person in Lycra who is, you know, he wasn't the typical in the 90s super muscle bodybuilder you saw in Lycra. He was just like a normal guy. And you're like, I could be this person. Look at this. I don't have to work out for 20 hours a week. I can just enjoy my Lycra and just go from here. So it definitely inspired me in the 90s and loved it so much because he had these super long suits, and I think you had Adidas back then suits as well.
I did, yeah. Those were the best.
And all sorts of things that I just craved and could not find over here in the States because the internet was just a baby. So it was hard to find such things over here. Just by chance, if someone has no clue who you are, and I don't imagine there are many, especially in the spandex lycra world, tell everyone a little bit about you.
So I guess I first started out, I wanted to make photos and videos because the kind of content that I wanted to look at just wasn't really out there. I knew the stuff that excited me, and we can talk a little bit and then going forward about the things that got me into it in the first place. But I just knew that I was looking for stuff. I couldn't see it. And I thought, well, what the heck? I'll try making some stuff. So once I was able to actually get some suits of my own, I just decided to start taking photos and videos. And once I realized that I was enjoying them and liking what I was doing, I thought, maybe, yeah, what the hell, I'll share those things with the people and see if it floats their boat as well and whether they enjoy it. So that's kind of how it started.
That definitely did float their boats, I will say, because you come up a lot when I talk to Lycra guys. They always be like, oh yeah, I got started with Andy Lycra and grew from there because he had everything I wanted. So back in the day, where did you get your suits from? Like I said, they were not easy to find back then as they are now. You can't go on the internet and just go click ship.
Yeah, for sure. It was definitely more of a labor of love. I mean, I started out with very basic stuff. So I had some, you know, back in the 90s, you could at least get things like cycling shorts and things like that. There was a brief period where it was okay for men's fashion to have like that kind of thing, sort of mid-90s. So I had some things. And then I remember building up the courage to actually go into a dancewear shop and buy some a unitard and some leggings, and you know, just kind of, I realized that like if you bluff your way through it and kind of make you look uncomfortable and you just make out like you know what you're talking about, they just kind of, yeah, that's fine, you know, it's okay. So I was able to buy some things that way. And then I do remember quite distinctly the first time that I saw somebody in a Zentai suit online, and I think it was this person is still around, and I don't know if they're male or female. Actually, I know they're from Japan and they're called Marcy Anarchy, and they were the first person who had Zentai suits. And I remember seeing their stuff on some bulletin boards and Usenet, and I was like, wow, just the idea of that fabric that I've got small pieces of could then be over your entire body. I was like, that's really special. I'd love to get a hold of that. But it took a very long time. I did genuinely have to meet other people first who had their own before I was able to find a way to get some for myself.
Yes. I had that with singlets here in the United States. You had to go to sporting goods stores that sold wrestling gear. Mm-hmm. So you could get a singlet. You couldn't just order it from End-to-End or whoever. You just had to go get the real deal and buy it. And I looked in all things, the yellow pages. Yeah. Over here, the phone book, which no one under, I think, 40 really remembers what that is, and find one. And I called around. So, yeah, I'm familiar with that. And then once you meet people, like you said, you find out where to get things. They're like, oh, I bought this such and such. Or, oh, here's a catalog. Or, you know, back in the day, which is...
Yeah, exactly.
Amazing.
Andy, you just mentioned that you used to kind of go on Usenet and bulletin boards, and you'd kind of meet people who also had, you know, they had the Zen ties, and that kind of introduced you to it. Mm-hmm. What was it like doing Usenet and bulletin boards back in the day? Like, can you give us, for some of the listeners probably won't even know what Usenet is, what was it like?
I was quite late. I mean, that kind of came about. It had been around for a long time. And I remember, I got online probably, what are we talking, 96, 97, something like that. So that was later days of that kind of thing. So, but it was text-based. It was post-based. It was very much like you sent one message and it would appear, and then there would be a delay while people, it was very much like a sort of centralized email, I guess would be the closest thing that I would say. There was not really any instant messaging of sorts. And then some Usenet allowed you to post binaries. It was possible that you could share photos on that, but that came kind of later as well. But yeah, it's kind of very early ways of kind of ad hoc communication that was very slow and quite one way, and took time. It's like now everything's, you know, very instantaneous, and you don't have to be patient.
Yes, I remember those days, and trying to find them was a chore at times too, because you're like, okay, how do I search this? Where do I go? What do I have to use? I remember those days so well. I just gave up halfway through. Then we got AOL here, and that just made life so much easier.
Yeah, absolutely. I found there was an instant messaging program that came along. It was worldwide, but it was fairly big in the UK, called ICQ. Yes. And that was the first time that I remember having sort of real-time communication with somebody where you could see them type in. Yeah, that was cool.
Yes, I remember that. It's like, oh my God, we get instant access. You can talk to people right away. We don't have to wait for email or them to see it and come back 2 days later. It's here it is.
Yes.
It was awesome.
But I think, your question was then about like where I got things. And just to say, it was definitely not easy, you know, in the beginning. And I did, you know, over the course of years, I have acquired an awful lot of stuff, but, you know, without the benefit of a community and good people who were willing to sort of share, and, you know, if you met people, they'd let you try their stuff, or and mm-hmm. they'd also recommend places where, like, there's no way that I would have known where the heck I would go about getting an Adidas suit or anything like that.
It's when you think back then, it's like, how did we function and get our gear? Because we all back in the day got our gear that we liked somehow, but thinking today, it's just like, that was so much work. You had to really want it back then to go get it. Because if you're like, oh, I'm sort of into it, you're like, no, but you would find it, seek it out if you really wanted it. And I did that many times with many spandex and underwear and everything. It was like, I need this. I'm going to find this. So
yeah, it was a commitment.
It definitely was. It definitely was. So how did you discover your initial love of Lycra and spandex? What was it that brought you to the gloriness that is Lycra spandex? You know, the amazing feel and fit. And like I always say, when you wear a full body anything, it feels like you're wearing a big hug. So how did that come about?
I think a lot of people have a very similar kind of story. I mean, I remember, you know, because of the era in which I grew up, I just remember seeing things on TV like the Adam West Batman and mm-hmm. those kind of things. I just remember seeing people in something that was form-fitting, which I'd never seen before. It changed the color of the skin. It looked like it was, as you say, hugging, and it was close. And I was just like, that looks really cool. But it's like, how do you quantify what that? I don't know, especially the young, you know, I was very young. I was probably like 6 or 7. And like, you can't like say what it is about that's interesting, but you just know that that is interesting. Mm-hmm. And I really want to know more about it, and I want to try it. So yeah, I mean, that's like kind of my early experiences. And then I remember, you know, as going into the 90s, seeing things like, we have a TV show called Gladiators in the UK, which was sort of muscle folks fighting regular people wearing sort of wrestling. They were very shiny wrestling singlets. And then Power Rangers was probably the next thing where, you know, people were in very tight things. And so those were, I think those were my formative, definitely formative things.
Gladiators, yes. We had that over here as well. Mm-hmm. And then it was just, as I tell people, it was free spandex porn because you had all of those muscle boys in it. And then you always had the competitors who wore Lycra, but it wasn't as revealing as the gladiators. But still, it's like, oh my goodness, I need this. This is so good. And if you're listening out there, it just relaunched over there.
Yeah, and the costumes are back and they're shinier than they were before. It's very nice.
I have yet to see it because I know it launched in UK and then also Australia launched theirs a couple weeks later. And I've seen neither of them and I'm so mad. I'm like, somebody needs to put this on in the US. I don't know who needs to do it, but it needs to come here because yes.
It's so great because I mean, even just like on regular gay Twitter, so many people are just suddenly like, huh, what's this? And, you know, I really hope the Gladiators is going to bring us. I think it's going to bring us a whole new generation of Lycra fans.
I absolutely maintain that there's that more people than you could possibly imagine are into this and they just don't know it yet. I think all they need is that little bit of exposure to it, and then they will see some experience of that.
Totally agree, because the way Gladiators awakened us back in the day, it's going to awaken so many now looking at it going, I didn't know you could make spandex look like that. Or it's shiny, it's tiny, it's whatever they do, because I haven't seen much of the pictures, but, you know, we used to have them in the spandex crop tops that came down just below their pecs and shorts or ones below their knee. So they'd make all these crazy designs and people are like, oh my God, I need that. I need that. Yeah, I think we'll see a lot of people go crazy because it's not something they look for when they're online. They may stumble across it, but they're not going, oh, I need to find Lycra and spandex. And then when they do discover it, they're like, oh, I need more of this, and then discover, oh, there's a whole community out there of people. Oh my God. So yes.
I hope that nowadays it's easier for people to come across that community. I think that social media and that kind of the access that people have these days, I hope it's easier for people to realize, yes, there is a community and that you're not alone. The number of messages that I do get now since being back from people saying, gosh, like your stuff helped me to realize that I wasn't weird and I wasn't the only person. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you know, prior to seeing other people, I was like, God, is this just me? And I went through that too. So I absolutely know. So hopefully people don't have to experience that quite so much or for as long these days.
Exactly. Because, you know, I think everyone goes through that phase when they discover what they love in their kink side of their persona and think, oh my God, I'm the only one that likes this. Because usually there's no one in your city, unless you're in a major metropolitan area, that's really into it. And if you're in sort of a suburban or rural, you're never going to find someone into the same thing you are. And you just feel like, oh, no one else likes this. This is just my thing. And then when you get on Twitter now or Instagram, you can see all these guys wearing it, showing off in it, and get to realize, oh, there are tons of people out there who feel the same way I do about this fabric, and I enjoy it. So yeah, that's very good. Very awesome. See, do you remember some of the first pieces you bought and got when you were younger that really started your spandex Lycra journey?
Yeah, I'm sure I got given a pair of cycling shorts as absolutely the very, very first thing. I must have had Speedos at school as well. I must have, because I did swim, so I must have had that as well. The first thing I actually remember buying was a pair of running tights. Definitely remember that. And then from there, that was kind of where I was like, okay, this is all, you know, these single pieces things are quite nice, but I'd like the idea of it covering more. So that was where I was like, okay, the easiest thing to do for finding that is dancewear. So found some dancewear stores and got sort of unitards and catsuits and things that were like, would at least cover, you know, go down to like a wrist and an ankle. So yeah, I think those were probably the things that I accumulated first. And then then you start seeing the more exotic stuff like the Zentais and the side. Like, if you're not in a sport, you don't have access to those kind of things. So if you don't cycle, you're not going to get a cycling skin suit. You don't speed skate, you're not going to get a speed skating suit. So that's where you have to like find people who know about that stuff and where to get it. So that took longer, but yeah, definitely went from cycling shorts, running tights, dancewear. That was the beginning.
It's a good progression to go through, because I remember back in the day, especially when we were younger, spandex was really big in the late 80s, early 90s. Everyone was wearing it. There was no, you have to wear shorts over, you have to do this. It's like, wear it, have fun. And it was wild back in the days too, because we had all the colors, all the shininess, all the fun stuff. So that's a great transition from there to where you were. And then what made you start the site? What made you, because at the time building a website was not the easiest thing, was it took a tour. You had to know how to write HTML at the time. I remember writing those.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so you launched a site right after that. So what made you decide to put it online?
I guess there must be an element that you're, I don't think of myself particularly as an exhibitionist, but there must be an element of that. And like, once I saw my own stuff and I enjoyed looking at it, I was like, I'm sure that other people will like this too, and it might be nice to get it. I mean, now people post on social media and you can get instant validation, right? Mm-hmm. So that there must have been an element of like, I'd quite like other people to see this and tell me that they like it, as well as for my own satisfaction, you know. But yeah, it was definitely there was more effort involved, because yeah, the very first site I taught myself basic HTML and learned how to, you know, code and lay out pages. And it was literally just, you know, a kind of a web one type page. It was a blue background with red text in the front and static images. Yeah, that was the beginning of it. And then it wasn't interactive at all. There was no way for people, yes, other than people being able to send an email. If they wanted to get in touch, they could do that. Or maybe I might have had a contact form, but those were hard to code as well.
Yes.
But this predated even like some of the later stuff that I did, like the Yahoo groups, which were a bit more, a bit more interactive. But I think just the desire to share it and see whether people were into it as much as I was, and if they liked what they saw and wanted to tell me that they liked what they saw, if they had any thoughts on other stuff that I could do, you know.
And what was the feedback you were getting when people started to find you?
Yeah, like predominantly good. I think people didn't get in touch to say, oh, I don't like that. So that was nice. But certainly not to begin with anyway. I remember like, you know, as it went along.
Yeah, that's when the web was nice back then.
Yeah. I mean, it was definitely, I think that the higher the level of entry is to something, then people really have to want to do it in order to get that. So I think that does act as a kind of a filter in some ways. And there's positives and negatives associated with that. So I'm not going to say, you know, like, oh, it's, you know, it was exclusive and it was great, because there's definitely negatives to that too. But that was just nice to be able to sort of share it with people. And on the whole, the sort of feedback that I got was good, and people said, we'd like more of this, and have you tried this or have you tried that? And then through those initial kind of chats and discussions with people, that was what led to some of the first meets that I found people who were actually wanted to meet up and take photos together.
Nice. That's very cool. Yeah, because back in the day, it was just, it was so different. So different. So now that you've loved your spandex and grown a little bit, what are your current favorites that you're wearing and loving? There's so much out there now from when you first started. So what brands are you loving right now?
Absolutely. Well, I think that's as we were saying, like the barrier to access is definitely a lot lower. And just knowing, you know, finding sites that let you order even direct from China, like AliExpress and Taobao and places like that, where you could just go, okay, I want a Zentai, I want it in this fabric, I want it in this size with these customizations, and then fine, you got to wait 3 weeks or 4 weeks or whatever for them to make it, and the international shipping and all that. But it's like, yeah, you find it, you specify it, you pay, it comes, and that's great. So those are good. I've got a few custom Zentais that I've ordered direct from AliExpress, and then of course the ubiquitous Amoresi soup, which yes. just seems to be everybody's favorite right now. And I get it. I understand why. It feels great. It's like the nicest fabric. I've got some issues with the styling. Like they've got this kind of, they've taken the idea from the sort of swimsuit design, which has got this kind of long sort of leotard like looking sort of stitch on it. So it would be quite nice if they did a version that didn't have that, but everything else about the suit is just great. It's soft, it's stretchy, it's ridiculously shiny, and it's sort of lightweight. It's the perfect spandex. That's my vibe at the moment.
Nice. Yeah, I've heard nothing but good things, especially from Jack. Especially from Glass of Lycra. I'll edit that out.
No, well, the thing with the Amoresi suits as well is they're so soft and so silky and smooth. And when you get two people together wearing them, I mean, it's like a whole nother level. You know, it's like, it's just so smooth and so silky. I mean, you've never felt anything like it.
It spoils you. It spoils you when you go back to regular Lycra, because you're like, okay, because it doesn't conduct the body heat as well, and it's not quite as shiny and slippery. So yeah, once you've gone there, you know, it's hard to go back.
Nice. I still have yet to get one. It's on my list. I'm going to get one. Glaxo Lycra said they would probably fit, so I'm going to take his word and put it on, since we're both tall boys. So, you know, he's just a little bit taller than me. Not by much, but just a little. Only an inch. So you had your site, you went through your site, and then you left the internet. So why did you leave the internet after being on it for so long?
Well, I mean, let me tell you that for anybody who runs anything where you are the moderator or the person in charge, the potential for that turning from something that is fun and is a hobby and that you enjoy doing to it becoming work and like dealing with people's complaints and dealing with people's issues and all of that kind of, like, that started to become way more than I wanted it to be in my life. And, you know, real life happens as well, and your career takes off and you're doing stuff, and you know, all of that is there, and it's just like, okay, well, this is no longer the fun pastime that it was when I started out. And just, you know, because even, you know, when I stopped, which was, I don't know, 2009-ish, I mean, you've got to remember, like, YouTube had been out for a couple of years, Instagram hadn't started yet, you know, Twitter was a thing, but it was really just like, you know, text at that point. There wasn't, you know, it was websites, and that was pretty much it. Web 2 was still in its relative infancy, so there wasn't really an alternative. I wasn't like, oh, well, I'll just stop doing the website and we'll push it onto some other, you know, means where I don't have to worry about all of that stuff. And that I couldn't do. So I was just like, okay, I'm just not enjoying this anymore. So I didn't delete anything. I didn't take the site offline. I just stopped posting. And, you know, that was kind of it. I mean, I guess I must have been a little bit resentful probably at the time, because I didn't go into depth about trying to explain what had happened or anything. If people did contact me directly, I would, you know, people that I knew, I would talk about it. But there was stuff going, like, people were going, oh my God, what's happened? You know, but it was nothing. It was nothing spooky, and it was nothing awful. It was literally just like, this was for me and it was for fun, and it stopped being fun, and so I stopped doing it, and that was pretty much the explanation.
That's very go ahead.
One of the stories you told me when we met up, which I think quite funny, was that even the makers of Lycra got in touch with you about your website.
Good, yeah. I mean, and that's funny, because I had completely forgotten that. But it is, yeah, it is. It turns out, so Lycra was invented by a chemical company called DuPont in the 80s, and or possibly even earlier, actually. No, it's older than you think, actually. If I did research on this way back in the day. Lycra is older than you think, but it became big in the 80s. Anyway, in the early 2000s, it got taken over by another company. They sold the trademark, and it got taken over by this other company, who, let me tell you, were hella litigious. And they went online and basically found anybody who was using the word as if it was a generic term when it wasn't. And because my website had that word in its title, I got sent a letter before action from this chemical company, basically going that you take us off or pay us a ton of money. So I did actually argue that one and made it go away. And I did have to have a I think the reason why this came up when Glasgow Lycra and I were chatting was because he recalled that on the front page of my site, it had to say Lycra is a registered trademark of Invista or whatever the company was. So it's like, how come that was on there? I was like, because I had to put it there.
Yes. Because you have to be careful with, because brands like that will definitely go after you, because Speedo is another one that does it. If you have anything Speedo related, they are going to send you a letter. So yeah, that's crazy though. I wouldn't even think of that. Because I think of spandex but Lycra, I consider the generic term, at least in the States. So that's interesting to know that it is a trademark of some nameless company out there. That sucks. But I will say you brought up a very good point about doing something and you love it and then it's no longer fun. It's, I think a lot of people in this day and age, especially with quote unquote influencers, as I say with my air quotes, don't realize how much goes into producing content and putting it up and curating it and monitoring it and moderating. There's a lot that goes into it. And when you get to that point where it's no longer fun, it's easier to walk away than just sit there and be like, oh, my heart's not in this and they're going to see this.
Yeah, absolutely. I think if there's one, like, and I have to say that since coming back, the community has been nothing but welcoming and very good. But if I could say one thing to the community in defense of creators, and please, like, you know, just remember that people do put their heart and soul into this kind of stuff, and it, and as constructive as you think your feedback might be, I would just, like, you know, beware of being like too pushy with people, like, because you cannot, it is not possible to please everybody all of the mm-hmm. time. And if I do a set of pictures in socks or in trainers, I guarantee you somebody will go, for God's sake, where's the bare feet? I need the bare feet. And it's like, you know, fine. I know that maybe that wasn't for you, but it will have been for other people. So maybe just, like, yeah, I do remember getting some, like, you know, people saying, oh God, you really should have, like, done something to your hair before you did these pictures. Cause, like, you know, oh my God, just, like, come on, cut me a break.
Okay. I'll stop kinda like sending you messages to tell you to get the trainers off. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Good.
I knew that was you. I just knew it. I had a feeling, but no, it's true, because it's a lot of work. And back then, especially when you did it, it was a lot more work. Because did you start with digital cameras, or did you have to use regular film and scan it in?
A couple of things. So I had an analog camcorder, you know, the kind that used to record high 8 or VHSC, but that let you go out over a component video cable, and I had a video capture card in my PC, so you could just that thing. So, like, think like early webcam, and you could snap stills from that, or you could also record, and I still do this now actually, if it's just you, I'll just film a video and then grab stills off of it, because that's easier than, you know, you can just move, and mm-hmm. as long as you stay still for long enough, you can get a decent still out of it. So that, and then yeah, some of the early, a couple of times when I met, the very first meet that I did with it'll be on the site as one of the first meet sets. I met those two guys and we took those photos with an actual film camera, which then had to get taken to a photo processing place. And, mm-hmm. Yeah. And then once the photos came back, because there were the three of us in those photos, and I was in one part of the country and the two other guys were in completely different parts of the country as well, we would then, like, have the photos, and then we would mail them to the other person. Seems so old-fashioned now, but yeah, you did what you had to do.
Yes, and that's like all the trends now on social media. Send us a picture when you were 21. I'm like, I don't have pictures when I was 21 that I can find easily. I didn't have a cell phone. I was like, I gotta find a picture, scan it in. Mm-hmm. I was like, yes, I remember those. And then you would, if you did anything scandalous, you had to mail it away to a special processor so you could get the pictures developed, because you didn't want to take it to your local, you know, film developing place. They'd be like, oh, this one came in. So yeah, it was not as easy as snapping a selfie and putting it up on the internet. All you could do back then, your selfie was a Polaroid, and that's the only way you could get it without getting developed. Yeah. And those, as back then, were not the best pictures in the world. So,
That's true.
They were fun. They were definitely fun. So you obviously are one of the biggest spandex guys around. So do you wear spandex? We know you wear it for when you meet up with people and you're online. Do you wear it like in your everyday life, going to the gym, running errands, or is it more reserved for, the content side or the Lycra world and stuff?
I'd say predominantly it's for content. If I can find ways to integrate it, I will. I know for some people exhibitionism is a big thing, and that they'll really enjoy finding an excuse to wear something that is not necessarily outwardly functional. So by that I mean a skin suit for cycling or running tights for running or gym compression wear. But so I get that, and that's cool. I don't do that. I have been in the recent past quite an avid runner, and have a big collection of running tights from doing that. Unfortunately, I have an injury at the moment, so I can't run, which has kind of removed one avenue from that, which is a little bit sad. But otherwise, base layers definitely, and in the work that I do when I'm doing the physical side of my job, I can wear a base layer with shorts over the top of it to kind of that gives something for me, but as well as it being, a little bit discreet, I guess. But that's kind of how I try and combine the two. But base layer is quite a good thing because I like it, especially if it's cold, outside. You can underdress basically anything you like. Sure. An MRSE suit underneath, normal work wear is absolutely fine. Only I know about that, or anybody I choose to share it with. So
definitely. So I have to ask, now that you've returned, what made you return to the world of spandex Lycra? What made you come back to social media and make sort of your comeback, as they say? So what made you go through that?
So I guess I've been sharing on my normal, I've got a normal vanilla Instagram as well. And when I was running, I was sharing running selfies on there as well. And I was again, I think that was me kind of going, all right, this is, scratching that exhibition, that slight, exhibitionist, but mm-hmm. that desire to get some feedback, for somebody to go, hey, that looks nice. So that was there. And I was sort of dipping my toe in with that. But genuinely, in the past few years, work has been just so crazy. I haven't had time to do much outside of that. But I had a vacation at the beginning of this year and just decided I would take some suits away with me and just okay, well, if I get time, I'll wear those and, I did some pictures and thought, yeah, I'm kind of happy with those. I like it. So let's see if I started a social media, I knew Instagram best. So I just started up another Instagram. I was okay, let's see whether people remember me or whether they're interested in seeing those things again. It was a positive response. So from there I was okay, there's only certain things you can show on Instagram.
Yeah.
So I did it, started, and I will continue to call it Twitter. I'm really sorry, I can't get behind X.
I do too.
I started a Twitter and posted some more stuff on there. So yeah, and whenever it was, it's literally only been, what is it now? It's the end of February. I started in the beginning of the second week in January, and we've got 1,000 on Instagram and 2,500 on X Twitter. So yes, I think people are interested. That was a nice kind of welcome back.
Oh, they're interested. They are interested.
Yes, because it's one of the few times I've seen spandex Twitter, Lycra Twitter, blow up like that. Everyone was talking when you came back. They're like, oh my God, Andy's back. Andy's back. Oh my God, go follow Andy. And it was incredible to see that people were like, oh my God. So it's a good space to be in. I think a lot of the spandex guys out there are really good guys who it's a good community to be in. It's just, everyone feeling underrepresented and not really sharing their true stories and selves. That's sort of changing with social media. So that's good to see. And you back is a good thing.
Well, thank you. Yeah, no, as I say, it has been overwhelmingly positive, and it's also nice coming back slightly more mature. When I was first sharing stuff, I was young, I was, and I think having your having a sense of sort of boundaries and knowing that you want to share the stuff that you want to share, and really, like, you know, it's great that other people want to look at it, that's fantastic, but this is something that I want to do and I'm doing it for me. So I think having boundaries in place as well is a really important thing too. So hopefully I'm less sensitive to any, not that there have been yet, but I'm less sensitive to any potential negative comments or feedback, and coming at it as a more mature person. Maybe.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Boundaries are you using going forward, that, you know, what is, because it seems like this time, I know when I was younger, you would do things to please other people at times in your pictures, but now you're doing it, this seems like you're doing it for you, your love of Lycra and spandex. So how are you pushing boundaries so it's, you have fun doing it, keep doing it, and not get sort of the burnout that a lot of guys get?
I think, just like as one example, like I'm quite happy for people to send DMs and like get in touch and stuff, but like sometimes things can go from like 0 to 100 like super quick, and somebody will send you a message literally just going, oh hey, that looks nice, or you know, where did you get that, and then you answer, and then they come back with something that's like, okay, now we're talking about deep sexual acts and stuff. I'm like, all right, well, you've gone. So I think my boundaries are kind of like, in the past, if I felt uncomfortable about something like that, I'd be just like, oh, run away, too scared, block it, don't reply, whatever, that kind of thing. Whereas now I'm kind of trying to go, okay, look, I'm happy to talk about this, and this, but where you've kind of just come back, like, you know, maybe if we got to know each other a little bit more, we could talk about some of those things. But like, you know, for you to just go, hey, where'd you get that suit? Do you ever do this? And it suddenly becomes a big jump. So I'm, not instantly running away from things that make me feel like, oh, that went a bit quicker, or I'm a bit uncomfortable going, actually, let's, you know, happy to chat, but let's take things a little bit slower. I think that's the main thing. I think it's just remembering that your job is not just to please the person who's messaging you. You know, they've come because they're interested and they want to chat, but like, it has to be a two-way thing.
Definitely, because we have a lot of people who we interview and I talk to who post things, and they post it same reason you are, just to have fun, show off their love, and they don't do it to get the sexual comments. They're feeling fun and sensual, but they're not doing it to get the, oh, I want to fuck you or whatever comments back. And I think the internet makes you very anonymous, and you're bolder on the internet because you can just ask whatever the hell you want to ask. And I think guys need to, like, you know, you need to know that there is a person behind the spandex. It's not just a random guy, and you can treat him as, you know, this piece of meat. Some people want to be objectified, but you want to be respected as a person as well.
Yeah, for sure. I in a way, though, it's interesting because I kind of feel like, especially since coming back, that hasn't happened all that much. But I do think that there is something in the fact that, and this is not to say that there's any, no reason why everybody should show their face. But as somebody who does, I think that it possibly does make me seem less of an anonymous person. Do you know what I mean? So I think that people do tend to talk to me like I'm a person rather than just a person, just the fact, you know, at the end of the picture. Do you know what I mean? I don't know how else to kind of.
I know you had a question. I was about to prod you for this question, and I know what you're going to ask. So go.
I can't hear you. So can you hear me now?
Well, let me get it right.
So yeah, you mentioned that you're one of the kind of only guys that shows his face. And I mean, you know, if you go on Twitter and Instagram, there's just a stream of guys showing their torso or their bulge or things like that. You're, I think, still one of the kind of only people that really shows their face in this community. And I think there's a lot of guys out there who would like to show their face or are kind of toying with it, but maybe they're too scared. They don't know what kind of reaction they would get if friends or family or their employer found out. And I mean, if I remember right, you started off the website blurring your face fairly quickly, decided to just show it all. So what was the process behind deciding to show your face? And then has it had any repercussions, or has anyone ever found you and recognized you? Or has any family and friends ever come across your stuff?
It took a while. I'd say I started posting 98 or whatever that was, and I don't think I started showing my face properly until like 2002, 2003. So it was a little while. And I think I, again, like, gosh, without wanting to sound like a complete selfish person, the content that I wanted to see from people was involved seeing their face. Like, I wanted to see a person and not just a body. And so I thought, that's the content that I want to see. So that's why I think I made the pivot to it. I possibly naively at the time just was like, well, you know, I don't think there's any major consequence to this. So I wasn't overly concerned. I mean, I did once go on a TV show. I went on it. We have a TV personality here in the UK called Ruby Wax. She's an American, actually, but she presents in the UK. She had a daytime TV, think like Ricky Lake or early days Oprah, something like that, where she would do like a focus on a different topic on each one. And on one particular one, it was fetish. Through some various long-winded, and I don't need to go into the details why, connections, I ended up being on that, being interviewed about fetish. And I was like, you know, at that point, I've been on morning daytime TV, and, you know, let's say 2 or 3 million people have seen that, so what the hell? Yeah, nothing
what
to
did
lose.
You what did you wear on Ruby's show? Did you dress up, or did you just wear your civilian clothes?
No, I dressed up. I had a green dance catsuit unitard thing on, which I remember that she did kind of slightly mercilessly mock and said I looked like an asparagus. But no, it was very good natured. I have to say, like, there was a guy. The other person that they had on was a guy into rubber, and he had an inflatable suit. And I, you know, like, again, I do like rubber, and it's not my fetish, but I've done it a couple of times. And the inflatable thing, I can imagine it does feel very nice because it's like pressing very tightly against the body, but outwardly, it's visually unusual in the sense that it's easy for, I think, people to poke fun at. So that was a shame, you know, and I don't think that the analysis of it was particularly good. But, you know, looking, you know, for 2002 or 2003 or whatever it was reasonably sensitively and handled in a grown-up sort of way, which, you know, was, you know, quite refreshing, I guess. Would I do it again now? Would I go on daytime TV now? Probably not. Again, things that you reflect on as you get a little bit older and like, yes, I do like, you know, I like people looking at my stuff and saying that they like it, but I don't need 2 million people at once to do that.
Nice.
And do you think And do you think anyone has ever recognized you from your stuff, like just in day-to-day life?
If it's happened, it's only happened a couple of times. And there was somebody who did message me after that had been on air and said that they'd seen me. So that was one, but like, you know, only one person. So that wasn't crazy. When we were doing the advertising for this fetish club night that we did called Heroes, there was a picture of me on the advertising, and that went into these kind of free gay papers that got released. And somebody at my university recognized me from that. But no, other than that, no, like recently, I've got a couple of people who follow me now since I've come back, who I realize are also in the same industry as me. And we have realized that we know each other, like, you know, on the peripheries out of that. But like, until it was pointed out, they didn't make the connection. Do you know what I mean? Like, oh, you already follow me. Well, they're just on the other side.
Well, that sounds really positive, because I think a lot of people are going to be worried that, you know, the sky is going to fall in, that someone's going to recognize them, and something terrible is going to happen. But you've had your face out there, you know, for a number of years, and it sounds like it's been a pretty positive experience.
Yeah, I think on the whole, definitely. I mean, it is absolutely a completely personal thing, and I think, you know what you're comfortable with, and also, you know, I'm the field that I work in, I think, is people are reasonably tolerant of alternative lifestyles, and it's quite, I think that the consequences would be not massive, whereas I think that possibly in some other fields it might be harder, and I understand why people might be more reticent. So, you know, look, it's whatever works for people. And yes, I like looking at things where I can see people's face, but I would never say, okay, it's time that you do that, or you have to do that, or that's the only way that you're going to get people to follow you. Like, you know, it's whatever works, and I totally understand.
Nice. I have to ask, how did the people in your industry put the pieces together when you said they followed you, but they didn't know it was you? And then what made them put the pieces together? Did you tell them, or... That's fascinating to me.
Yeah, I was direct on the tour it's happened. I've been reasonably direct, but I got the hint that those people were into it from other stuff that had either been said in person or on just general messaging. So I was like, you know, like I said, also, I firmly believe that way more people are into this than know, and they just need a little nudge in that direction to realize that they are. So I was like, yeah, okay, fine. I'll send a picture and see, you know, see whether this person likes that. And then if they react positively to that, I'll be like, well, as it happens, I've got this profile where I've got nothing but pictures. So take a look at that and see what you think.
Nice. That's awesome. That is very cool.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
So how has your family reacted to all this, or friends, to your internet fame and Lycra? How have they responded to it, and do they know the extent of it? Because sometimes I know we have friends who know everything more than family. So
yeah, not the full extent, I don't think. I've got quite a small family, so that's fortunate, I think, in some regards. But like that reaction was pretty positive. I don't think it's been an issue. I've got a supportive partner, so that's also good. Yeah, I'm not massively open with friends and family about the extent of it. Okay. But you know, I'm like, I don't think it would be an issue. But I don't need to go like, hey, look, minor celebrity status here or whatever. You know, like whatever that means. But it's not anything that's ever become an issue, and I'm not majorly concerned.
That's good. That's very good. Yeah, I think everyone worries, like we said, that people are going to find out, we're going to get judged, we're going to have issues with family, friends, work. So it's good to hear, even as open as you've been through the years, you've had relatively little at all issues of sharing what you love and putting it out there. So that's absolutely very good.
I mean, look, nothing is hurting anybody. Nothing is super weird. Nothing is, you know, borderline, or it's all like, it's just, you know, it's tight. It's shiny. It feels nice. It's brightly colored. And there's photos of me and other people in it, and that's it really. I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
What's not to like?
Exactly. We've seen pictures of both of you in it together on the internet. So that was great.
Well, yeah, no, it was. It was great.
Because I remember him, like, were telling me, he's like, guess who's coming to visit? And I'm like, no way. And then you put out content and it was really good. I was like, so much fun. So amazing. You two look like you had a great time together. And that's always fun. So what were your thoughts?
Who, Nira?
You.
Me? Oh, okay. Yes. Yeah, I couldn't believe it. So, I mean, I'd been a big Andy E. Lycra fan forever. You know, as a teenager, I would be like sitting in a tutor and, you know, my kind of parents' darkened office room, you know, sitting men in Lycra into Google and just see what would come up. And I think Andy, you know, scored pretty highly on the front page of Google for searches like that. So yeah, I was always a big fan, and I was really bummed out when the site kind of closed. And then one day I was just messing around. I posted a picture or two and I got this notification from Real Andy E. Lycra, and I was like, oh my God, I was such a fanboy moment. I couldn't believe it. And it just totally came out of the blue, and we just got chatting, and I found out he was actually a really nice guy. And they say, you know, never meet your heroes, but actually my hero turned out to be really nice. And yeah, he came up to visit, and I think we had a really nice time. Showed him the local art galleries.
Yeah, we did.
Showed him Italian restaurants, and he showed me his collection. Showed him the Nike outlet store, which wasn't very good, but the Adidas outlet store was pretty good. Yeah, I had a great time.
And he's welcome anytime.
Oh, that's very sweet. Thank you. It was very nice. It was, yeah, again, it was just kind of felt like grabbing the bull by the horns, and like, you know, it would just be and the invitation is there, and it would be nice to go and get back into meeting. And I was made to feel very welcome, and it was great.
Yeah, because I've seen on your social, you've met up with a couple of people since you started back. So that's good to see. And it's good to see the reception of you being welcomed back to the community with open arms. And, you know, you're one of the first who did it. So it's amazing. So I have to ask you, there are plenty of guys who will listen to this podcast who either are into Lycra, don't wear it much, want to buy it, who are into it and don't have very many. So what's your advice to someone getting into Lycra, either buying, showing online, showing their collection and themselves online? What would you give someone just starting into Lycra to, you know, what should you buy? What should you do? You know, anything you want to add in there?
Sure. Well, I think sorry, give me a second. Let me just rephrase that. My first stumble. So I think that much in the way that it's easier to find people now and that the community is more accessible, I think also the barrier to entry is lower. And that's not to say that stuff's cheap, because, like, you know, things mm-hmm. it's a luxury purchase, even if it's not massively expensive. But, like, it is relatively easier now. Like, the first Zentai that I got, I went to a dancewear store and had it made. Like, somebody had to, you know, take my measurements and sew it and make it on site. And you pay a premium for that kind of stuff. And now with the explosion of things being available in China, and, like, you know, you can just do that. And if in the absolute worst case scenario, you don't like it, or it comes back and the sizing is wrong, it was only $50 or whatever. You know, it's not the absolute end of the world. I think that my advice would be, take the risk, you know, talk to some people first. Like, the community is there, it's open, you can ask people's advice and say, hey, I'd say 70 or 80% of the messages that I get are, where did you get that? Like, so, and I'm happy to answer those, you know. So I think for a lot of people, that's the same thing too. Where do I get one of those? Where did you get that? So ask those questions, find those things out. And then, yeah, don't be afraid to, like, you know, spend a little bit and be patient and wait for it to arrive and try it out and see if you like it. I think that's, like, the 101, the basic advice.
Nice. Look and shop and see what you love. And, you know, Lycra is a diverse community. You can wear so many different things, from full body suits, Zentai, running tights, compression gear, super tight shirts, whatever you're into.
Yeah, for sure. It's rare that somebody will come and go, like, oh, I've never tried any Lycra stuff before. Because, like, if somebody did ask that, I'd be like, okay, well, you know, go to your sports discount store and just try, you know, you can just pick something up for, you know, $5 or whatever. That's, you know, that would be, there's your first way of finding out whether it's even for you. Generally speaking, most people have already done that when they're asking the question, and then they're into, like, well, how do I get that thing that looks really cool and I've never seen before? Like, that's the next step where people tend to ask the question.
You start out with what you can get easily, and then you go into what you see online and really crave and really want. And, you know, once you get it, you're hooked, and you keep buying more and more and more and more. It's like everything. I enjoy underwear, spandex, speedos. You keep buying and you have way too many, but you're never getting rid of them. So don't even suggest that to people.
I have got this idea that I will, we have a, I don't know if you have Vinted in the US, but it's kind of like eBay for secondhand clothes. There'll be other ones like that, but I do have an idea of, because I have so many running tights that there's no possible way that I will ever be able to wear. And even if I do fix my knee and I can get back to running again, I'm still going to have way too many. So, I'm sure it's nice to, Glasgow Lycra has one pair of my running tights that I donated.
I have a pair of the highly coveted Nike Power Speed, I think they're called. I've got to say they're a little bit too small, but I think that makes them even better, if I may say.
We have to see pictures of that later.
I will post pictures. I will post pictures.
Well, you know what you can do is post it on your Twitter and say, hey, I'm selling these, and then see who, get a bidding war going, and that way you can buy other things from the stuff you sell. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I mean, like logically, that does make so much sense, and I love the idea that perhaps I could fund new purchases from the sale of old purchases. But I wish I was that disciplined. I just wish.
Oh, see, send it up to Glasgow Lycra and let him manage it. He can do it. He'll bring in the money. Okay. Just give him a cut, and he'll just buy a piece of NDE Lycra. Here you go, and boys will go crazy and buy them. I know because. Certain people online bring in top money for their used underwear, gear, everything, even without, you know, the extra additions some people want on them, which God bless you. But yeah, no, this will just be, you know, like just clean Lycra, you get it. And it was previously owned by someone you follow and have adored for years. So
what do you, if I can ask, what do you think, you know, if you did sell what your gear and you had some cash to spend on some new purchases, what do you think the next big thing is? Like, is there anything you've got your eye on that you would really like to try that you've not got your hands on yet?
It's a good question. I'm actually looking back. I'm really annoyed. I had one rubber suit. It was kind of blue and it looked sort of superhero-ish and it was very cool. I wore it like, two or three times. I did photos and then I wore it like two or three times other than that. And I sold it because I was like, I'm not wearing this often enough. Somebody else will get way more love out of it than I do. But now that I don't have it, I do kind of miss it. So I, in spite of the high degree of extra commitment that is required, like mm-hmm. what I like to think is low commitment, like, you know, you can throw that on when you feel like it. It's not, you don't have to plan. Rubber is a whole other deal. Like, you know, it's way more of a commitment, but I do kind of regret that I don't have that suit anymore. So yeah, but then again, that's the barrier between like a Zentai suit's like what, $50, $60, $70, and a rubber suit is like $400, $500. So it's a big difference as well. But mm-hmm. yeah, I suppose that is, I'd love some, like, basically like a Zentai suit in that Amorosi fabric in every single color. I would just like, that would be my dream. So maybe that's more realistic than the rubber suit.
I think they would make those, you know, because they have to be making a ton of money in the last, I think, Glasgow Lycra, you said they first popped on the screen in 2021 when we talked. So in the 3 years since they popped up, they have to be making some good money from all the boys into their suits. So you think they would be expanding into other things?
Yeah, there's other companies out there now. I mean, I've noticed one that's kind of starting to get big is Hiragato, and it's a bit more expensive, but they do similar, it looks like similar suits and similar fabrics, but they do them in lots of different varieties. So they do like a female figure cut and a male figure cut. They'll do you a flat front, a bulge front, a zipped brush. You know, it seems like they do lots of stuff. So I'm kind of hoping we'll begin to see some of that fabric and lots of different styles. And if I get one, I will report back.
Yes, definitely. We will get you back on to report. But I would love to see them do, you know, the same spandex and like running tights and shirts and, you know, crop tops and, you know, all sorts of fun things in that shiny spandex, but they just do the similar things. And I'm like, oh, you can be making so much fun gear with this. If I get my hands on it, it'd be like, oh, make everything, put it out there. We'll see what sells and then get rid of it afterwards. But yeah, that's, don't get me started on spandex. Oh, love it as much as you boys. Trust me. I think I'm up to 40 singlets now. So there's not a singlet I don't like. Let's just put it that way. I need to get some longer stuff and bodysuits and full catsuit type. That's all my goal. Dex inspired, Glasgow Lycra has inspired me to get Armoresi suit. But that's hopefully this year I'll finally get one with the feet and zipper in. You said the back, didn't you? Or is it the front you said was easier to put on?
I think, I don't know what Andy thinks, but yeah, I find the back zip suit slightly easier to get on. And the way I think it's maybe because I'm taller and you're taller as well, Tim. It's just getting your arms in the front and then over the shoulders, it can be slightly awkward. And yeah, the back zip, I think it's slightly easier to get on. but it's more awkward to zip up.
Nice.
Yeah, it's a mix. Like, I'm not, you're broader across the chest and shoulders than me, and you've got bigger arms, so I'm narrow and skinny at the top. Yeah.
The front zip was actually not too hard for me, but I do like, I also took the point, like, once you've got one on and you're like, oh, actually I have to kind of, that one's harder to, yeah. But it's swings and roundabouts, because unless you can, you know, reach your hands behind your head and touch them together, doing a back zip on your own is also a little bit of a pain. I've noticed that the Taobao Zentai suits come with a, rather than just a regular zipper, they have like a kind of a key ring, like a circular thing. Like, so once you do get your hand back there, you can hook a little finger into that and pull it up, and that's a lot easier for like a low adventure. But anyway, the solution to all of this is that it's more fun when there's two of you or more.
True. Although I've always said they need the little attachment like you have on wetsuits, so you have the long, so you can pull it up.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. So, and then unclip it once you get it up, and then clip it back on. But yeah, that's my cool. But I agree, it's better when there is someone, two people with you, because there's two of you, so. Yes. So any further questions, Mr. Glasgow Lycra?
I don't think so. I think we've covered it all. This has been great fun.
I think, yeah.
I'm just having a look on your list and seeing if there was anything that we missed out, but I think we covered
pretty much everything. Some of them were good. Some of them added, of course, who you are. We love it. Love having you here. It was great to talk to you and find out why you started, where you've been, why you came back, and the loveliness that has come back with the world of Lycra, and so much fun. Oh my God. It's so much fun to see you back. So everyone, go post your Lycra pictures, go buy Lycra, have fun in Lycra. We all support that, and everyone should have it. And just tell them where they can find you online, Andy. So if they're not following you,
so I'm on Instagram as Andy E. Lycra, all one word, and on Twitter, because somebody else had, in the meantime, had already taken that, I had to take something else. So I'm real_AndyE Lycra on there. Unfortunately, two different names, but if you search Andy E. Lycra on either of those platforms, it will show up.
So definitely go follow him if you're not already. I don't think I follow you on Instagram. I have to double check, but I do follow you on Twitter. And Mr. Glasgow Lycra, where can they find your amazing pictures?
You can get me on Twitter or Instagram, and it's Glasgow Lycra, all one word.
Go follow him because he is amazing, and go listen to his podcast too, because we did that a couple of weeks ago. It was fun. It was amazing. And these two got a preview before it was out, because it was before when they met. I was so happy they got to hear it. So yay. Follow me at UMB Tim. Thank you both for coming on today. I hope to get you back on again soon and talk more Lycra. We're going to do regular Lycra shows in the future and interview guys why they love their Lycra. So we're going to build on this on the After Dark podcast, and hope everyone enjoys them and has an amazing week. And before I go, I did discover a way to put this show on the Patreon, so you can go support this show, the other show, or both shows by the time this comes out. It's not up as we record this, but the time it's released, will be up and ready to go. So I don't have to create a new one. Yay, huzzah. All right, everyone, have an amazing Lycra-filled week, and we will have a new podcast for you very soon. Bye, everybody.